know, I did have one thing good I want to share. Is it was such a blessing that my phone rings, and before court, it was my little Isaiah on the other end of the line. He said, "Nana," and his voice was shaking, but he said, "You think maybe you and I could pray together before I go in there?" And I said, "Of course I will." And it brought back a lot of memories, so I'm thankful at least he knew to call out on the Lord. Okay, we are not going to go into Nehemiah yet. We will, I think, next week. This week, it's going to be about the resurrection of Christ. And we're going to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, I like the last part of that. And if you look up, it says, "If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy." Why? So men will be edified, comfort, exhort. You've got to have the word of God. "Forbid not to speak with tongues. Yet let all things be done decently and in order." You know, everything that God in his plan, there was an order in everything. Even in the resurrection. And that's how we're going to see this in chapter 15, verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel." And I always like saying gospel. It's the good news. It's what we're preaching today. It's Paul's message. It is the hope for everyone today. He said, "I preach unto you the gospel. I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you." Now watch what happens. He had preached unto them. This is the Corinthian church. They're carnal. And that to me, it gives such hope when you really look at this and say, God didn't give up on these people. God knew they were carnal, but he had the man right there to preach the word of God to do what? God wants us to come out of death and into life. And Gene always says it. We always talk about come out from all this, but what are we coming to? When you're coming out of death, you're coming up in life, and this is a new life. He said, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein, because you received it, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved." It's that gospel that saved you. It's that gospel that's going to keep you. And he's going to be there. He saved you by his grace. Anything we do in this new life, we are going to be enabled by him. That's number 10, responsibility. Responsibility to God. Responsibility, but it's according to the ability which God giveth. If God didn't give you the ability, you would have nothing to give. You wouldn't be able to do anything. You wouldn't be able to walk a life of victory. He said, "By which also you are saved, if you keep remembering what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." It's a wasted effort. It's empty. It's void. If you really believe it and you really receive it, and it's what you're standing in, as a man thinketh, so is he. As much as you really take in your heart, that message, our whole life should be centered around everything that Christ has done for us. It would never point to me. Never. It'll be, I am up in a new life. My head is Christ, and everything that these members do is because of my new head. He gives it to me, and the Spirit quickens us. He reveals unto us. He said, "I delivered it unto you first of all, that which I also received." You see, he didn't just get it on his own. A lot of pastors, I was talking to one yesterday, and I'm just praying for him because he is such a good man. But they have to get everything. It's all so organized. I just don't like organized Christendom. It's something the Lord has shown me, and he was talking about his message, and I have to go do this, and I got to get this, and I'm going to And I just went, Lord, I'm going to pray and really show him, because he is a he knows grace, but the depths of it is what people are missing. He said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I received it, same way you did. And the way you received it was God gave it to me and I gave it to you. So why would you put Paul on a pedestal? Why would anybody be put on a pedestal if they're giving out God's word? Because God gave it to Paul. Paul gave it to us. And I know a lot of times I've had people say, well, I wish I knew this like you do. And I go, that is a wrong attitude. Don't measure yourselves one with another. I said, God gave it to me. You know what? Sometimes we're going, oh, I wish I knew what Gene does. Gene has given it to us. We don't have to put God in a box that he has to do that this way and this way. He said, that I received, I gave it to you. The beginning in Romans, it says, as much as where? In me is. I'm ready to preach the gospel. If we don't get it on the inside, how are we going to preach it? It has to become mine. My gospel. This is ours. He gave it to me. He said, I delivered first of all to you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Not he died according to what man and his doctrines are. It's according to what the scripture says. And that he died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, what? According to the scriptures. He said, we knew, you go back in the Old Testament, and I've been thinking, Brother Bill used to say it's the old and the new contained, the new in the old explained. And he used to always say those words, and I go, what? Because it's Christ hidden in the Old Testament. But we can't preach doctrine and prove it by types and shadows. We have to use Paul's doctrine. So he's buried. We knew he was going to die. We knew he was going to be the one that would be put on the cross, that he would rise again on the third day according to the scriptures. When I first started the message, I thought the Lord was going to have it on my heart to raise again. Raise again. I mean, there are so many places. Raise you up again. Raise you up here. Raise you up. He said, but this is according to the scripture that he was seen. Okay? He resurrected just like the scripture said he was. If you go in Acts, you'll read. Remember their faces? They were down and they were kind of just, oh, you know, no hope. He said, why are you so sad? What's wrong with you? He said, don't you know? I said I was going to raise again. I'm walking here. And he said, I was seen. And you're going to see he was seen. But we have to believe according to the scriptures, not just I've seen it. You will. Your faith will become sight. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then, continue, I was seen of Cephas. I was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 men at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. Some have gone to sleep. After that, he was seen of James. He was seen of the apostles. But last of all, and I like those words, last of all. Last of all, he was seen of me. That's Paul. Paul, right now, He was the last one right there, but that's typical of how the Jews, the nation, in the end times, in the last times, they are going to know that Christ died for them, was buried for them, rose up in the newness of life. They're going to take this message in. And he says, the last of all, he was seen of me, also as one born out of due time. He was a Jew. It's all typical of what's going to happen in those last days. When those Jews, and I wrote down some of this stuff, but I don't really follow my notes. The Jews are going to minister to the Gentiles during the millennial. But there is so much about those early apostles and the mission of Paul, the mission. What did he do? He preached to the Gentiles. Well, what's going to happen in the end times? The Jew as a nation are going to preach. They're going to minister to the Gentiles. And then I like this because he goes, and I am the least of the apostles. Okay, to me, this is, boy, what an attitude. I love that. His attitude, I'm the least. If we're not the least, others are going to feel like you're better than. He's the least, and he knew why. He knew why, and I'll show you. I am the least of the apostles. I'm not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. You know, it's one thing we walk out in the world and we act like the world. But him, he was professing to be. He had sat under the feet of Gamaliel. He learned all that law. And he went out and he persecuted the Christians. What about Stephen when he was being stoned? He saw that. He stood there. Let it happen. It's one thing to do those things. It's to me worse when we come in and Paul saw that. I persecuted the Christians, the church of God. These are his people. I persecuted the church of God instead of building them up. But we've been taught. And just remember, everybody has not been taught this message. We think everybody knows the bridal message. Or, oh, everybody knows what real baptism means. No, they do not. And that's where we're wrong. Well, I don't want to say that because everybody already knows that. I thank God that he led people by the Spirit to say things because we are growing up in Christ. And that's exactly, Paul's preaching this to the carnal Christians, the church at Corinth. He said, I'm the least. I persecuted the church of God. But when we see but, what does that mean? By God, something big is going to happen. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, the favor, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's every one of our testimonies. It's by God's grace, I am what I am, by the grace of God. He said, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, it was not in vain. It wasn't wasted effort. It was real. It done a work. And he said, I labored more abundantly than they all. You think that? He said, I labored abundantly, more than all of them. But what's his testimony again? Not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You see, it's the grace of God that saved me. It's the grace of God to keep me. It's the grace of God enabling us. It's I know whom I believed and I'm persuaded. He is able. Not me, not them. He is able to keep that we commit unto him. But we don't have hope. We don't enjoy that right away. You know, some do, but it's as you take in the message. The message is what gives us that hope and lets us know that it's the ability. When you're so weak and God comes in, he just says, some little, just Maybe someone sends you a verse. It's exactly what you needed, exactly at the time you needed it. It's Him. He loves you that much. It was the grace of God to not only save me, but enable me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so you believed. No matter who, we have to have a message that is true, a message we do believe in, and it's all that we've been given by God's grace. Now, if Christ be preached, we're going to preach Jesus, okay? The resurrection of Christ. If Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, okay? We're out here and we're telling people, oh, Jesus died for us, but he died on the cross. They took him off the cross and he was buried. He wasn't buried for himself. He didn't die on a cross for himself. He didn't come up in the newness of life for himself. He did it for me. He died for me. He put it away as far as the east is from the west to be remembered no more. He also resurrected for who? He made a way that he could come up, that I can have a new life. I have come from death unto life in Christ. That's death, burial, and resurrection. It's one thing to know it, but practicality. It's just like baptism. It's an outward showing of an inward work. This is what God's word did in my heart. What you're seeing is just outward. It's just like a woman with a head covering. To me, it's an outward showing of an inward work. I could wear it and have no knowledge of what it's even about. But you know, when I first started out years ago, you may not understand it, but maybe God lets you see. Just a hint. You need to have that on when you're preaching, when you're praying in the church. And it's like, but it becomes more real. And more, you see, everything is growing. We know it in a deeper way as we walk with him. He said, now, let's see. For whether it were I or they, we preach and so believed. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, okay, if we really are preaching that, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? See, they need a correction. He is resurrected. Why are we walking around saying we have no hope? I don't have any victory. No, he will show us through the scripture. It will empower you. And he said that there's no resurrection from the dead. Well, let's see. If there is no resurrection, then what's going to happen? What do we got? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Okay? No resurrection of the dead. Well, that just took my hope away. Then Christ isn't risen. So why are we preaching that? If we're not saying, we have to say there is a resurrection if you're preaching truth. Now, if Christ be not risen, then our preaching's vain. It's wasted. It's wasted effort if we're not preaching that he rose again. Because when we're preaching, after we're saying he's rose again, everything about this message centers around the risen Christ. Everything. Your hope, your peace, your joy, everything. It's all him. Everything we ever hear coming from a pulpit, it will be Christ in me, now the hope of glory. Because we already knew through the scriptures, I didn't have any glory. The flesh, it can't glory. We had no glory. And there is no glory in the flesh. It's like it'll all fade away. I mean, people are taking it, the glory today. But if we do, and we're going to be brought to, when it's brought in practicality, you will come to those times in your life that you go, oh, I want that. Well, why is that over here and not here? Because God said you don't need it. God said, no, it is not your time. Your time is coming, and it's when it matters. That's that bride. She's waiting. When I get to the end of this, you're going to see, I just was like, oh my gosh, we sit here and we praise the Lord and we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. But at the end of the thing, it even is greater and deeper of what Christ has done for each one of us. And if your preaching is vain, then guess what? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But if we don't preach resurrection, then you don't have no faith. Because he is our faith. You will be found that your faith is also vain. And you will also, we will be found false witnesses of God. It won't be a true witness because he didn't raise up. It's just going to be the old man walking around. No hope. Still in your sins. No victory. Because you have testified that Christ raised, that he raised up Christ, whom he didn't even raise him up. Why are you saying that then? If so be that the dead rise not. Do you know the people who have died, like my brother, very precious to my heart? He's dead. Wouldn't that just give you hope? My brother's dead. Ended. Done. What you had here on this earth with him, that's it. It's over. Our life on this earth. Yeah. Oh, it's easy when you're a kid. Well, I'm going to wait until I'm about 40. Then I'll give my life to the Lord. I remember those words. Come on now. And maybe you were raised in this message, you know, and you're so rooted and grounded. But let me tell you, I was not. I was raised in the love of God and grace, but God was doing it, not the church where I attended. They didn't have it. They wouldn't know how to give it. We are preaching Christ is alive. He is with us. He walks with us. He talks with us. He tells us, you're mine. I bought you with a price. Do you not see how valuable you are? I mean, I won't even say I, but you can just sit and just meditate before him. So many times we think it's this or that or this and that. The greatest calling I could ever have was to be called to be his bride. That's the greatest. But that one, you have to wait. I mean, no matter what it is, you have to wait no matter what it is, but whatever calling. Because it's all got to be him. Used to fear death. I'm glad I did. Because people tell me today, they're Christians, and they fear dying. Well, it's just because the flesh wants to rule. The flesh wants to come in. What's the greatest tool of the devil? He wants to come in. And he wants to say, yeah, it's really going to hurt when you struggle at the end of the thing. And I took that to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, people say, well, I'm not worried. You know, I'm going with the Lord. I want that, Lord. And he said, you remember the day I called you to give your heart to me and you were 5? He said, I've called you. You have come. I've called you, you've come. When it's time to come and keep coming, it's just another step of I come. Jesus, I come to thee. He said, when I say come, you just take that step and come, just like you have. Don't fight it, don't resist it, just come. My sheep know my voice. What a peace and a rest that's given me. But now it's not just for me. I can tell others that same wondrous love and give them a peace that passeth all understanding. Because it does happen. You know, we're raising our children or we have family members. Looks like it'll never happen. That isn't Christ, with God's thoughts. Let this mind be in you. Let our thoughts be his thoughts. God is able. God is able. His grace can abound. If they choose not, if they choose not to take it, that's one thing. But did I just give up on them? The message is still true, whether they accept it or reject it. But our job is to walk and show, continue in the love wherewith I have loved you. It'll show in your life. How much has he loved you? I can see in your life how much he's loved you. People see in my life how much he's loved me. Or do they? We can't show love until we've been loved. And we cannot forgive until we've been forgiven. Him that is forgiven a lot, he's able to forgive. I remember when I had to come, I said, oh, I am like the worst of worst, Lord. You don't want me. Yeah, I do. And it was all by God's grace. But that's the message you tell everybody. I'm going to continue because that's all I can do according to the scriptures. I have to continue in the love wherewith he loved me. I didn't accept him. I rejected him. I would sit in the back. I rebelled. Don't hug me. Don't come up and say, praise the Lord, and all those. I was, get away from me. And God brought me to the place now that I have to be taught who to hug and not to hug. I mean, that's when God does something. You see, he gets the glory. So there's a lot in this resurrection. For if the dead, in verse 16, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. And the bad news is, if you don't preach the resurrection, you're still in your sins. You're still in them. And they're just as miserable as they were. Then he said, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. But see, that's hidden from the natural man. He says, they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. How can we say they're asleep and they're dead? They're never going to rise again. Why does Jesus even have the word out there right now? Even to us, wake up, thou that sleepest. It is high time to wake up. And when you wake up, it's no longer nighttime, it's daytime. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. And that's what I said. If we're just going by this life and, you know, I'm what, 70 years old? Gee, I don't know how many years I got left. It's all over? It would be just done? No. I long for that day when he calls us right away and we see him face to face in all of what? His glory. But now, Paul says it, but now, not tomorrow, now. Is Christ risen from the dead? He has risen and become something. What is it? It's the first fruits of them that were dead? No, of them that slept. I mean, I always think back of those in Upper Sheol, and I remember things that God would reveal, and I would try to tell people, and they go, that's not what that means. I go, well, it is. It said many. Many, many arose. But he was the first fruit, and them that slept, of them that slept, they were able to rise up. And since by man came death, and we know Adam brought death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. See, it's all right there, so plain, so simple. It's like, if you just believe that Adam, in the very beginning of time, you are now dead in your sins. You're dead in your trespasses, your sins. But Jesus paid the price at Calvary. He died. He took it all for you. And they always say past, present, and future. Is it? Future. Past, present, and future. That's the whole. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Those who were dead in Christ, they're going to come forth. They're going to come forth in life. You're dead in your sin, but now you're alive in Christ. I brought you out from death into life. I mean, that's so powerful. For as in Adam, all. It says everybody. This is how God sees it. Everybody. For as in Adam, all die. Anyone going to be saved, anybody, is by God's grace. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, they're all dead. He took our place on Calvary, but also in Christ we have life, and life abundantly. Every man in his own order. Remember, we talked about God has an order. This is your proof. This is your scripture. I believe the word of God. Every man in his own order. That's a military term. It means you come forth. What if everybody was just, they came forward and act like they were the colonel? What chaos. The colonel has to know what he's doing. If you're going to rule and reign with Christ, you have to understand that. You have to learn to rule and reign now with him. You have to be able to agree with all things here. Every man in his own order, but Christ is the first fruit. That's our hope. That means more to come. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. At his coming means parousia. These are different times of coming. Then cometh the end. A lot of people think that means, but if they would just look up here, by God's grace, look up there, and he said, every man is going to come up in his own order. Now Christ is going to be the first fruit. Afterward, they that are Christ at his coming, then cometh the end. A lot of people think it's the end of the church age. No, it's not. What about the millennial reign? When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, all power. And we've set in the teaching and see what's in Revelation. We see there's a lot of them going to fall after that Catholic Church, and they're going to get into the systems of life. And I don't always say just Catholic, because that gets my eyes off of all truth. We need to know that that's a system. Whether he put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign. He must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Jesus will come and be on his throne. He will rule and reign until every enemy is under his feet, and the last one is death. And that's when he has those keys, and he is going to throw him in the lake of fire. And it's going to be over. It's over. Aren't you glad of what he's brought you to? He's brought us to, it is done. It is finished. I made a way that you can have everything. That's why Jesus came. That's why he died. That's why he was buried. But most of all, to me, I mean, I do look at his death and I look at his burial, but he has my eyes on him in resurrection. Now it's him. and us in him. But it's Christ, all him. That last enemy shall be destroyed, that's death. For he hath put all things under his feet. Even the ones who rebelled. There was things happened to those people in Revelation. I go, they still didn't yield? No, they didn't. But they will. Because the word, the scripture says, every knee shall bow. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest. He is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then something else is going to happen. Then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, God, that put all things under him. Why? That God may be all in all. We've seen it in the classes. I remember Norm when he had God and Jesus and then the man and the woman and the children, have it all in order, God's order. But when you think of this, how he takes and he renders the kingdom up to his Father, he's been reigning as God. Now he's going to give this back to his Father, but he still has his throne. He still has his throne to be on. Else what they do when, oh, I don't want to go there because I remember what that means, but I don't think we're going to go there. Just remember that God may be all in all, and we have to allow Christ to be what? He is my all in all, in everything, in all. And that's when you have allowed him to rule and reign where? Let him be the God of the house of God. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Know you not? You are the temple of the living God. Let's all stand.